The other day I was at an outreach conference and they had Lutheran Hour display there, and I noticed that the display that talked about how many Muslims came to faith, or at least they were born to the Muslim faith, and how many Christian witnesses they had as the Lutheran Hour. He talked about some 65,000 Muslims came to the Muslim faith, where they only had about 2,500 Christians to receive that information. And then I read also, and here's what they have to say about the church. And it says, this year, 50% of churches would not see one person come to faith in Jesus. There are 335,000 churches in America, and half of those churches will not see one person, not one person come to faith in Jesus Christ. This year, 4,000 churches will close. Out of the 3,000 churches, that 300,000 churches, 4,000 will close. And this month, over 1,500 pastors will lose their congregations and go into employment. Unemployment. Jesus tells the story of the person who goes out and he scatters the seeds. And we talked about the seed as the seed, the gospel of the kingdom. That God has called us as people of God to go out into the world and to sow the seed of God's love, his grace, and his mercy that is found only in our Savior Jesus Christ. He calls the church to a life of outreach and evangelism. Peter, what Pastor said, you saw that epistle verse where Peter says that you're a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people called out by God to declare his marvelous deeds of the one who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. At one time, we were not any people of God, but now we are the people of God, and he has declared for us again to go out into the world and to share the good news of his grace and his mercy to those who are still waiting to hear good news in a bad news world. Now, some people go with bad news. They go and they say, I saw the sign out by Ben Harbor that says, don't let me come down there now. And I like to put a southern twing on it that says, you hear? Don't let me come down there now. Now, if you told your kids in the other room, don't let me come in there, you think you're going to bring them a piece of chocolate cake? You're probably going to go in and correct what they're doing wrong in the other room. There are a lot of Christians who go and they sow the seed of fear of God, wrath upon those whose lives have been torn by sin. They always say, like Jonathan Winther, who wrote his sermon, sinners in the hand of an angry God. God is going to come and he's going to set the record straight because of your sin. He's going to get after you. He's going to beat you. He's the God with the big baseball bat in heaven. And he's going to come, and he's going to beat you to death because of your sin. And I like to say the sign should read, not don't let me come down there now, / God, but the sign should read, I have been there, and I'm already there now, / God. Because he is a God who has come to us in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ. You remember when Nicodemus came to Jesus that night, and he said, we know your man came from God, for no one can do these marvelous miracles unless God is with them. And Jesus said what to Nicodemus? For God so what? No, he didn't say that. It said, for God so hates sin, right? Is that what John 3:16 said? For God so hates sin that he sent his only begotten Son, that whoever should believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Is that what he says? Now let me ask you this. Does God hate sin? Sure he does. Because the word sin simply means that we miss the mark of God's holiness, his righteousness, and the knowledge of God. The word sins means that you and I can never measure up to God's holiness, his righteousness, and the knowledge of God. We fall short each and every day. Sin is like Charlie Brown hitting the home in the park home run and running. And even before he gets the home plate, they say, slide, Charlie Brown, slide. And he comes up short. And he is put out. And Lucy said, you knucklehead, Charlie Brown. You should have known better. God comes in a world in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ, not to remind us that we are sinners. He knows who we are. David says in Psalms 103, he knows who we are. He knows how we are formed. He knows, but we are dust and sinners. But David says before that, he says, but he is a compassionate God, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. He doesn't treat us as our sins deserve, nor according to our iniquities. But from everlasting to everlasting, he is our God. A God who loves us in spite of ourselves and despite the things that we do to ourselves. A God who took your sins and my sins and the sins of the whole world in his own body and made his way down that road outside of Jerusalem called Via Dolorosa, by the way of the rose, to a hill called Golgotha, to a tree called Calvary, and there he hung so that we might go free, and he lives that we might have eternity. Good news? You don't act like it. Good news? You better believe it is. It is the news of a God who looked beyond the brokenness of our humanity and saw our need, the need of a Savior. And a God who did not abandon us, but a God who took on flesh and blood, yet without sin, and purchased us and won us and brought us to our Father. Paul says, for God was in Christ. What was he doing in Christ? Reconciling the world unto himself, not counting men's sins against them. And you can put women in there also. God was in Christ, not counting our sins against us. God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die so that you might go free personally. Whatever sin you have committed in your life, God paid for it on Calvary's cross. Jesus took your sins. Paul says, he who knew no sin, that is Jesus, who knew no sin, became sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Isn't that glorious news? God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, so that in Christ, God declares that we are right with him. That's shouting good news, isn't it? That God made his son to be your sin. And in his son, who died for your sin, God declares that you are all right with him. Greater love has no man than what? A man lays down his life for his friends, and he says, I call you my friend. We're friends of God. We're friends of God. Through the cross of Calvary, God declared that the world could go free in the person of his son, Jesus Christ. Now, church, there's a problem. Yet many people die without Christ. God has declared that the world can go free, and yet many people still die without his son, Jesus Christ. Why? You remember when he called the disciples of Galilee, these Galileans, and he told them, go what? Into all the world. Make disciples of all what? Nations. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them everything that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always until the very end of the age. God has called the church to go. To go. Now, there was a guy that God told to go to a place called Nineveh. How many of you remember that story? God simply told Jonah, I need for you to go to Nineveh. Read the story. It's a short book of the Bible. And it says that Nineveh was a great city. But there were problems down in Nineveh. People had turned away from God. And their lives were bankrupt. And they were destroying themselves and other people. And they were doing all kinds of things. And God told Jonah, I need for you to go to Nineveh and preach to the Ninevites about my love, my grace, and his mercy. Now, Jonah's like most of us. We don't want to go because the Ninevites are doing such crazy things. We want them to die and go to hell quickly. We don't want them to pass gold. We don't want them to collect $200. We want to take everything away from them, and we want them to go straight to where they should be in hell. But God said, Jonah, I need for you to go to Nineveh. And what did Jonah do? He jumped on a river, on a boat, headed to where? Tarshish. After God told him to go to Nineveh and to proclaim to the Ninevites God's love, his grace, and his mercy, he said, no. They're evil. And they deserve damnation. And though you told me to go, I'm going to prove to you that you're going to condemn them, God, because I am not going to Nineveh. I'm going to Tarshish. And you remember the story as he boarded the ship to Tarshish, and he went, and he was sleeping in the ship, and the winds and the waves start beating over the ship, and the guys were trying to save themselves, and they were throwing things overboard, and they had prayed to their gods, and the winds and the waves got even fierce, and they say, well, what is this guy doing sleeping? Doesn't he understand that this boat is about to capsize? And they went over and they say, man, what's wrong with you? Don't you see the winds and the waves about to capsize? Get up and pray to your God. And Jonah got up and said, well, I know what the problem is. He said, my God told me to go to Nineveh, but I'm going to Tarshish. And unless you guys throw me overboard, this boat is going to capsize. They were such gracious people, they didn't want to do that. They bailed water even the more, and the ship was just going, beaten and buffeted by the winds and the waves. And finally, Jonah said, you got to throw me overboard, and then God will stop it. And you know what happened? They threw him overboard. He was swallowed up by this huge fish. And then he started praying in the belly of the fish, and God, what, spewed him up on the shore. And God said, Jonah, listen, man, don't you get the message? Go to Nineveh. I need for someone to go and tell the Ninevites about my love and my grace, my mercy. And finally he said, okay, well, you know, if that's the way you're going to act, God, I'm going to go to Nineveh. Very reluctant to go to those outside of the kingdom of God. And you recall he went to Nineveh, this great city of Nineveh, and it took 3 days to walk through the city of Nineveh, and he was preaching, proclaiming the good news of God's grace and his mercy. And you recall what happened in Nineveh when the message was preached to them. The king called all of the people together and he said, listen, repent, put sackcloth and ashes on, and let's repent of the things that we've done. Who knows that God might save us? And the whole city came together, repented of their sins in sackcloth and ashes. And the Bible says God relented of bringing his wrath upon the Ninevites. But Jonah, he sat there hoping that God would destroy the city of Nineveh the way he did Sodom and Gomorrah. And when he saw no smoke coming up, but God's love and his grace over the city and the people repented, he was like a two-year-old. He went and he sat on the ground in the hot sun and he cried like a two-year-old. I knew you were going to save the Ninevites, he said. I knew you to be a gracious, a compassionate God, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. This is not what I wanted for the Ninevites. And you recall what God did? He caused the vine to grow over his head, and he was then sitting in the sun, and so he had some shade, and then God caused a worm to come and eat the vine, and the vine was like this bush over here. It died, and Jonah started complaining again, crying like a three-year-old this time. And God said, what are you crying about, Jonah? You care about the vine. You did not plant it. You did not water it. You couldn't make it grow. I did that. And yet you are complaining about it dying. And here's how the story ends. He said, here you're crying about a plant that I caused to grow and water and live and give you shade and to die. He said, but there are 120,000+ people down in Nineveh, plus all of the animals and the cattle. Must I not be concerned for them also? Must I not be concerned for those who are still outside of the kingdom? Must not God be concerned about the young people on this campus and people in this community who still do not know him as their Savior? Must he be concerned about those who will die this day without faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? How many times when our great superstars, you know, Whitney Houston died last night, how many times when our great superstars, when they die, oh, we are such in agony and pain, and we talk about all of the gift that they've had, and yet there are people walking the streets of Ypsilanti Township, Ann Arbor, whose fame does not go as high, yet they are dying without Christ. Why? Because like Jonah, we have refused to go and sow and let God grow. Well, you say, well, now we got Pastor Brian here. Isn't it his job to go? And you say, we're behind him, yet way behind him. And we say, you say, we're praying for him. We know he got the skills and the talents and the gift to do it. And we're going to get on our knees and pray that God will allow him to do it. And yet the Bible says in Ephesians 4, says that God calls leaders to equip the saints for the work of the kingdom. Do you know you will contact more people than Pastor Brian will ever contact in his time here with you in this congregation? For instance, how many of you were out in the storm the other night when it came Friday night? A very handful of you. Now, let's just say then, if Pastor said, listen, I want everybody to go out Friday night, we're going to have a worship here, and he got out and he got stuck in the storm and he couldn't get the person that he was going to bring, and he was going to bring one person. And he said, I want everybody in here to bring one person. And so he was stranded on 94 somewhere out there on 23 with this one person couldn't get here. And yet you had an opportunity to get here, and each one of you brought one individual. I don't know how many people are here today, probably 75, 80, or 100 people. If you came and he did not, that would be what? 200 people here. Suppose you decided, man, it's so bad out there. You know what? I'm just going to take my person and we're just going to go over here to one of the coffee shops and we're just going to drink coffee until the storm is over. When he showed up with his one individual, how many people would be here? Two. Simple math, isn't it? Go. Sow the seed of God's love, his grace, and his mercy. And God will allow it to grow. You said, but what, I don't know what to tell them when I go. Tell them about the love of Jesus. Tell them that God loves them. That he loves them so much that he gave the greatest gift of all, and that was the gift of his son, Jesus Christ. Let me quick 1 second evangelism too. Just turn to the person next to you and say, God loves you. Turn to the person next to you and say, God loves you. So you never say you never had a class on evangelism. That's evangelism 101. For God so that he his what? That who should not what? But what? Shake the person's hands next to you and say, hello, whosoever. That's whosoever. That's the person God died for. But he did not only die for that person, he died for everyone. God gives us opportunity of sowing his word in the lives of people. But our problem is that we're so busy about trying to figure out how to make this life living for ourselves, we forget there are other people who are struggling in the world. You say, well, I don't know how to sow the seed. There are many tools that you can use in sowing the seed. Just the other day, I was telling a friend, said, you know, I said, I'm not in a parish, and so I can't actively be out evangelizing because, you know, if I try to evangelize, I don't know where to send the individual because I'm all over the state and everything. I said, but I got to do better about evangelizing. I said, I got to figure out a tool that I can use to evangelize. And so I see a lot of street people out there. There are sometimes people who come up to the gas station and say, sir, could you give me some money so I can put some gas in my car? And I said, you know what? Every time I see them coming, I always cringe because I know they're going to ask for something. And so I got money in my pocket. I can help them. I don't want to help them. But I said, but I got to figure out how to witness to them. And I said, so what I'm going to do, God's Words to the Nation has a little booklet. It's called God's Love, and it has a lot of verses in there about God's love. And I say, I'm going to take that book and put a $5 bill in it, and anytime someone asks me about something, I'm going to give them that book with the $5 bill. Maybe they won't read the book, but maybe they will. And I said, that's the way I'm going to evangelize people that I come into contact with. So 2 weeks ago, I'm in the city of Detroit. I'm going to a meeting. I'm running out of gas. I don't have any money in my pocket. I got to find a place to park, but I didn't have any money. So I went to a store, got some gas, and then went in the machine to get some money. And lo and behold, here a homeless man come, and he said, sir, could you help me? And I didn't have any money in my pocket. Neither was I prepared and ready to do what I said I was going to do. Matter of fact, the booklets that I said I was going to use were in my briefcase back at the office. And so I have money in my door handle there, so I grabbed all of the change, gave him the change, and say, listen, man, God loves you. God loves you. Jesus died for your sins. Sometimes we're just not prepared for the work that God has called us to do. Find a way that you can sow the seed of God's love, his grace, and his mercy to those in whom you come into contact with. And then leave the rest to Jesus. Leave the rest to Jesus. Now, I know some of you say, yeah, but they'll just take the $5 bill and take the book and throw it to the side. Leave the rest to Jesus. Leave the rest to Jesus. Let Jesus somehow figure out how to bring them to faith in him so that they can be part of the kingdom that God has called us to be part of. There are people waiting to hear from you. They want to know why you rejoice and sing and give praise to this marvelous God who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. They want to know, why are you so happy? Why do you have a song in your heart? Why are you rejoicing all the time in bad times? They want to know why you don't give up hope. It's because God has given us the greatest gift of all, and that's the gift of his Son, Jesus Christ. So here's the question. Are you going to go? Are you going to sow and just let God grow? God will grow it. A pastor on his deathbed, and I asked him, just share with me what you've learned these 60-some years you've been in ministry. He said, you know what? Here's what I've learned. I've learned that you can be the smartest person in the world and never tell anybody about Jesus. And he said, I've learned it's a simple message. It's a simple message. It's easy to tell. And he said, I've learned just how to figure out how to share with people about the love of God that is in his Son, Jesus Christ. And he said, you know, a lot of those people never came to my church. But he said, I know they will be in heaven with me when I arrive. I said, so what do you think about this thing called heaven? He said, well, there'll be a lot of surprises in heaven. There'll be 3 surprises. He said, first surprise I'm going to be that I made it myself. He said, the second surprise is going to be those who that I thought would not made it, made it. And the third surprise, those who think they're going to make it but never did anything for the kingdom probably won't be there. And he said, so it's a simple message. He died a few weeks later. But he said, the message simply is, seize the moment of the opportunity of telling someone about Jesus. You don't have to be a brain surgeon to do it. You don't have to have a PhD from Eastern Michigan University or from Michigan University or from Michigan State. God calls simply 12 men that were not part of the pastoral ministry in Israel to be disciples for the kingdom of God. He even used a slothful guy like Nathaniel, sitting, contemplating under this tree. And when he heard Andrew tell him that we have found the Messiah, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, he said, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? And you recall when Jesus saw Andrew, he said to him, man, you're a young man without any pretense. He said, come and see. Come and see what God is doing. Now, unfortunately, the scripture doesn't tell us a whole lot about Nathanael, so we don't really know all of the work that he did for the kingdom of God, but I'm sure he did a lot of work. I'm sure he was a martyr like all of the other disciples. You probably won't get killed on the streets of Ypsilanti, Ann Arbor, and wherever you live for telling your story. But there will be someone who would die without Christ if you don't go sow and let God grow. 50 million people die every year, two-thirds of those without Christ. God has no choice but to say to them, I'm sorry, I do not know you. They cannot enter into the kingdom. 50 million every year die off the face of the earth, and two-thirds without faith in Christ. Go, soul, let God grow. Say it with me. Go, soul, let God grow. Go, soul, let God grow. That's what he calls us to. You will be my disciples, and you will witness Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Will you tell someone, will you find some little small way of witnessing of your faith to those in whom you come into contact with? Maybe what we need to do first is just in our own homes begin to tell the story among one another about what God has done for us. So you can build up your witnessing mentality so that you can tell it when you get out into the world. And friends, I guarantee you when you do that, God is going to use that message and hope and bring somebody to faith in our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. So my prayer to you, Pastor Brian, and the congregation here as you dedicate this new building, that it's not just a building that you're going to dedicate so that you can relax and eat and grow happy, fat, and good kingdom people, but it's a place where you use to bring people so that they can hear the message of hope and salvation that is found only in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Would you do that this week? I know you will. I know you're going to share your faith and tell the world about a God who loves them and who's proven his love by giving them his son, Jesus Christ. God demonstrated his own love toward us in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Good news?
Amen.
Amen. May God bless you this week, and may he have you to witness to people that you will come into contact with. Amen.